I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. I don't do this very often, but I thought that it would be sort of neat to do this. We're going to look at a couple of words. We're not going to look at every use. We're going to look at most of them. But they're the words that they're typically translated in the King James. It's translated care or careful. And it's the words, one of them is merimneo. That's the verb. And That's right. Merimneo is the verb. Merimna is the noun. Okay? And I'm not going to point out which is which. It's verb is action. Okay? It's pretty easy to figure out. But what they mean is translated careful, which today a word that is closer to the actual way in which they use the word careful when the King James was translated would be our word anxious. Okay? And it comes from a word, its root is to divide or to partition. Its root word is actually translated concern in one place. But it is it's like a divided in mind because you're burdened by something. You're concerned. You're anxious about something. Right? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever been concerned about something? Anxious? Uptight? Worried? Sure, that comes up. Well, the word addresses that. It's really beautiful. So I wanted to start here in Matthew chapter 6 because this is the first place it's used. And if I remember right, it's used 5 times in this context. We're not going to read the whole record, but I want to start in verse 19. We actually looked at this record a few weeks ago. In verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." These are idiomatic phrases. Thieves represents fears. Moth and rust represents doubts and worries. Treasures is put for thoughts. Okay? Lay up for yourselves treasures or thoughts in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves or fears do not break through or steal. For where your treasure, where your thoughts are, there will your what? Your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise or think against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. This word thought is that word, merimneo. To be divided in mind, to be anxious, to be uptight, to be concerned about. You understand? And where thought is translated here in this section, it's that word. Okay, it's not just to think about. That's not what it means. Take no thought to be anxious, distracted by your life. Wow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father, what? Feeds them. Are you not much better than they? That's a question. That's a question we need to answer. Are you better than a bird? Which of you, by taking thought, by being uptight, concerned, distracted by, can add one cubit unto your stature? I've tried. I can't get taller. And why take ye thought for raiment? Again, that word. Not just think about, not, you know, what am I going to wear today? That's not what it's saying. It's upset or concerned, anxious. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little believing? You know, these are hard-hitting questions. They really are. Jesus Christ always manifested the Father, right? He said to Philip, he who has seen me has what? He's seen the Father. When Jesus Christ needed to feed 5,000 men besides women and children, he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What happened?
He fed them.
Leftovers. He had more leftovers than what he started with. That's the God we're talking about. That's the Father we're talking about here. Therefore, take no thought. That's that word again. Meroneo. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall what? Be added unto you. That's what God's word says. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Look it. You're going to have enough to think about tomorrow. Don't think about tomorrow today. Don't be uptight about tomorrow. God is faithful today. If he's faithful today, will he be faithful tomorrow? See? Isn't that something? So these are issues of life. These are just issues of life, clothing, and it's a living. It's, right? These are things that are just a part of life and living. That singing is not bothering me in the least. Oh, okay. Luke chapter 10, please. Actually sounds kind of good. Right? Luke chapter 10. This is a wonderful record. But, you know, I think there are many of us in this room that can relate to what we're going to read here. Let's start in verse 38. It's beautiful. Now, it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus Christ,
did you say verse?
Verse 38, Luke 10, verse 38. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Mary sat at the feet of Jesus as he was teaching. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving. There were a lot of people in the house when you look at some of these words. This much serving indicates there were a lot of people. She was cumbered about with much serving and came to him. and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her that she help me. She has stuck me with all this. You tell her to help me. And Jesus, and it's just life. It's beautiful. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. You know, when I get uptight, over the years, that's what I say to myself. When I catch myself, it's just, Martha, Martha. You know, just take a deep breath. Martha, Martha, thou art careful, anxious, that's that word, and troubled about many things. But only, and that's in the text, it's only, but only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Isn't that something? I will not tell Mary to help you. She's chosen the thing that is needful. See? Martha, Martha. And it's just, again, it's just, it's life. Had a house full of people. Got to take care of them. Got to take care of them. Got to take care of them. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do this. Mary, she is so selfish. Right? Mm-hmm. She's just human. And you see how Jesus Christ handles it. What's important? Now you see in both of these records, there's a real element of trust. Right? Are you worth more than a bird? If God so clothed the field. There's an element of trust there. There needs to be an element of trust here on Mary's part. That people will be taken care of. Or on Martha's part. Right? Mm-hmm. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Back to Matthew. Now this one. Now we've looked at just some issues of life here. This one's a little heavier. Matthew 10. Let's pick it up in verse 17. No, verse 16. Oh, what the heck. Genesis 1. Verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. Isn't that something? That word thought is this word. For it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. See that? Now this is a little heavier, isn't it? Yeah. You know, the disciples, did they get dragged before magistrates? Did they get? Absolutely. Absolutely. You think they remembered this? You know, when Peter said to those men, when they told him, don't teach in the name of Jesus Christ, he didn't seem too anxious to me when he said, whether we should obey you or God, you figure it out. Right? Yeah. Now this is a little more heavy. Yeah. You know, you're risking getting beat. I think there's a record where Peter was put in prison. And he slept so soundly that when the angel came and got him, he thought it was a dream. Angel had to smack him a little bit to wake him up. You know? I don't know if the angel actually did that. It was a joke. But he was really sleeping soundly. Doesn't sound too anxious, does he? No. There's an element of trust there. There has to be an element of trust. In Matthew chapter 13, this is a rather extensive record, but this is the record. Well, let me read. Let me read verses 3 through 9 here first, and then we'll get to it. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay. Now I want you to go down to verse 16. He's going to explain this parable. Verse 16 says, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. That seed is God's word. That's the seed. And he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon or immediately with joy receives it. This is great. Yet he has not root in himself. He endures for a while. For when tribulation, mental pressure, or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he stumbles. The word offended means stumbles. He's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. And the care, that's our word, the care of this world, the care of this world, the distraction, the anxiousness that this world causes, and the deceitfulness of riches crowd out the word, and he becomes what? Unfruitful. Now the gospel says he doesn't bring fruit to perfection, which indicates they stood for a while. But the cares of this world, and it's a beautiful analogy. It's I don't know if any of you have ever gardened, but if you just let the weeds go crazy, it'll choke out the good stuff eventually. And that's what this is talking about. See? It chokes it out. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word. He understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Really something. Where the cares of this life, the cares of this world, can choke out the word out of a person's life. You know, that's a sobering thought. And you know, in these different scenarios are not predestined. I've heard it handled that way. It's horrible. This is not predetermined. This, I'm good ground, I'm bad ground. I guess I'm just rocky ground. No, I decide. I decide. I have free will. I can believe God's word. See? I can believe God's word. You can believe God's word. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, please. We're almost done here, but I wanted to read this before we go to 1 Corinthians. This is the Apostle Paul talking about some of the things that he went through. And one of those things, besides these beatings that he received, a night and a day in the deep, in perils, you know, by his countrymen, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the city, and so on. Verse 28, it says, beside those things that are without.
What chapter?
I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I thought I said that. I guess I didn't. Chapter 11, verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That's the word. Mm-hmm. The distraction, the concern, the anxiousness. How did Paul deal with that? That's what we want to see. How did he deal with it? You get a pretty good glimpse if you read on in chapter 12, which we're not going to take the time to do. But we are going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to read this whole record. Most of you are familiar with this, but I want to pick it up in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 12, 17. Verse 17 says, If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Talking about the body of Christ. It's an analogy regarding the body of Christ. Okay? We'll see it pretty clear in a minute. But now, hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath what? Pleased him. As it's pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but what?
One body.
Now the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members. This is beautiful. Much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weaker are necessary. Interesting. Because, you know, here in Corinth, they wanted to be this, they wanted to do that, and you had respective persons. Okay. These kinds of things. That does not go on in the body of Christ. That should not go on in the body of Christ. We're going to see it pretty clearly here in a moment. See? Because every member has been placed at his pleased too.
Right.
See? And those members are parts of the body that seem to be weaker. Seem to be. Are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more what? Man. And our uncomely or our unattractive parts have more abundant elegance. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. See? It's really neat to understand tempering. When you temper something, the whole is stronger than its parts. Okay? Steel, iron and carbon. When you temper that together, make it one, that's steel, baby. It is stronger than the sum of its parts. Do you understand? That's tempering. See? And that's what God's done with the body of Christ. And then it says that there should be no schism, no divide in the body, but that the members should have the same, here's our word, care one for another. Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm not more concerned about one than I am another. Now, there may be different needs at times. I understand that. See? But, well, you know, this person is disposable. Never. Not in the body of Christ. Never. There's no throwaways in the body of Christ. Because every member was worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Everyone. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Even if it's a member that seems to be weaker. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. See? And this word in particular is a neat word. You know, you can take time to look at it sometime. On your, while I'm sharing a little bit of what it means, turn to Philippians chapter 4. That word in particular is, it means a part to play. Each member has a part to play, has a function in the body of Christ, as it has pleased to God. See? Now, the way that we walk in that which God has given us to do is to begin to walk in love. And you will. So, that's that word care. That same care. You know, that concern, anxiousness. See, for one another. We read where Paul had the care for all the churches. We've looked at some records where it was the cares of life and living, of just life and living. You know, then you had the care of getting brought before magistrates and risking thrown in jail or beaten. And in all those instances, it was that anxiousness or care. Now here in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, be careful. That's that word merimneo. Be careful for what?
Nothing.
Be careful for nothing. But, in contrast to that, that's what it means. In everything, Scott is stating it in two ways to make the point. In what be anxious?
Nothing.
Nothing. And in what pray?
Everything.
Wow. And supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this thanksgiving, look it, this isn't a made up thanksgiving. You know, thank you, God. I just need to get through this prayer. This is thanksgiving from the heart. A few verses earlier said, rejoice in everything. Again, I say, rejoice. See, that's going to take having built some of the word in your heart, some of the word in my heart, to be able to do that. That's going to involve some trust, isn't it? To not be anxious for anything is going to involve some trust, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And to pray with thanksgiving. And when that's there, and when it's genuine, and when that thankfulness is from the heart, because I know God's faithfulness, I know His concern, than this great verse, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. It's beyond all understanding. That peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You may not understand the outcome. You may not understand where this thing eventually is going to land. But because your God is faithful, and because you're believing, that peace is better than knowing. That's going to involve some trust, isn't it? See? All right, let's close in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. So, we are to be anxious for nothing. We are to pray regarding everything. It's going to take some trust. And here's something else it's going to take. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with what?
Humility.
Humility. For God resists the proud or the arrogant. And he gives grace to the what? To the who? To the humble. Humility. Humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See? That humility. And that's the context here of this next verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he what? He cares for you. Casting all your, and that word care is our word. Those things that make you anxious, those things that cause you to be divided in your mind, we're to cast all to him, because he, and that word care, is the root. His concern for you. Isn't that something? So, we are to be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Nothing. And prayer regarding what?
Everything.
Everything. And here it says, cast all your what? So then, what is it that's too small to go to the Father with? Right. Or too petty. Or too insignificant. See? We've read things about just life and living. Clothing. Food. Needing help. Serving. Being brought before magistrates. It's just life. And these things come up. And God says to cast them all to him. That word cast is really neat. It's used only one other place. I think it's in Luke somewhere, 19 maybe. I think it's 19. It's where they took their garments and they cast them on a donkey, an ass, that the Lord rode on. In other words, they took their garments and cast them on the donkey. That was it. And then what happened? The donkey carried them away. Right?
Yeah.
They didn't take them back. They just, that was it. Off they went. It's the only other word, place that you use. Isn't that neat? Okay. So we cast our cares to God. Now, it's going to involve some trust, isn't it? Absolutely. Because the easiest thing, you know, man was not made. He was never made to figure it out himself. He was never made to live independently of God. That didn't occur until after the fall. And all of the trouble, and all of the pain, and all of the hurt, and all the things that come up are so often because man does it independently of God. When God is right there, we cast all our care to him because he cares for us. That's how we were meant to live. That's when there's joy. The word says there's joy and peace in believing. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I got to tell you, that beats the heck out of taking antidepressants. It just does. You know, and I'm not making little of anything, and I don't mean to, and if I am, I apologize. My point is that we were made to walk with God. That's what men were made for. When Adam had spirit, he had dominion. It was wonderful. When he lost spirit, not so much. See? This is why God has worked so hard to bring to pass man's redemption, so he could once again have spirit. See? And work in tandem with him. So we cast our care to him because he cares for us. So, Father, thanks for your love, your grace, and the great care that you have for us. And just how beautifully these things are laid out in your word. Thank you, Father, for this and for all that Jesus Christ has done for us, and how that we have the right to come before the throne of grace. Boldly come to the throne of grace. Thank you for these things in the name of our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.